Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's a mistaken notion to think about our society here in the United States, while it grows less Christianish, that's probably the best thing we could say about it, less Christianish, that it is somehow becoming a less spiritual society. In fact, in many ways, it is more spiritual in the negative sense, and there is a negative sense to that word than it ever has been before. The embrace of any spiritualities, that is, even ones that are in direct conflict with one another. It's part of the landscape, the battlefield, if you will, where Christians carry out spiritual warfare. We're going to be doing part two of our series on demon possession and spiritual warfare in America today, the spirituality of the United States. Dr. Robert Bennett joins us on this Wednesday afternoon. He's executive director of Luther Academy, adjunct professor of missiology, and international mission specialist at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for January, Afraid, Demon Possession, and Spiritual Warfare in America. Dr. Bennett, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks, Todd. It's wonderful to be back.
We're going to talk a lot about spirituality in America, but first let's kind of clear something up. A lot of Christians, when they hear spiritual or spirituality, they think in positive terms. That must mean something good. Is spirituality necessarily a good thing?
No, not if the spirituality that we're talking about is disconnected from Jesus, or even more specifically, disconnected from that which Jesus has revealed about himself to us. So generally, people talk about spirituality as something internal, how they feel, how they're connecting to the universe, or to gods, or to ancestors. In that light, spirituality would be a very bad thing.
How would you generally describe spirituality in America? What is the spiritual state, so to speak, of our country at this point?
Yeah, and that's a difficult question because there's such diversity out there. But if I had to pick something as kind of the overriding issue of spirituality that I'm seeing, is we're really returning back to more of a traditional, or the words I usually use would be animistic worldview, where people are believing that there is spiritual realities, that there is other spiritual forces other than man, which would include the dead, various spirits. But it's really falling back into a very traditional and a mystic worldview, paganism, another word that would be something more clear to our listeners that we find in our world today.
So give us some examples of specific examples of that kind of animism or paganism that you say is ever more pervasive in American spirituality.
Well, it's this taking various aspects of organized religions or unorganized religions or anything that appears to be right in your own mind and constructing for yourself a spirituality, a worldview, a way of looking at not only the seen world, but in this case, more specifically, the unseen world, describing and determining for oneself how this world functions, how the spiritual forces are active. And it's really amazing of so many different, it's almost as different as the number of individuals that you could find in our country. It's really that widespread.
Now, you tell a story, I think, for some of your research for the book, you actually, and this sounds bizarre because most people don't even think such a thing exists in the United States in any real way, spending some time in the French Quarter and visiting a voodoo temple. Tell us about it.
Yeah, that was a very interesting place. If anyone's been to New Orleans, I'm sure many of your listeners have been. You know, voodoo is kind of the sub-theme there. There are various voodoo shops around the way, and of course, just the pagan feel of that city with some of the things that go on there. But there was one particular location that I had done some research on. I wanted to find. It was called the Voodoo Temple. And the Voodoo Temple was very different than most of the tourist attractions. It still had some of the similar books and spells, little spell bags on the walls and things like that, but it was pretty unimpressive. And I had read that there was a temple attached to it, and I couldn't find anything like that in the store when we got there. And so I happened to notice, it was funny, this young couple, they're married probably in their early to mid-20s, clearly in love, holding each other's hands and looking at each other as young couples do. And I overheard them speaking to the voodoo priestess who runs that particular place, and they wanted to go into the temple and make a sacrifice to the gods in the temple. And the voodoo priest said, you know, just go to the back and you'll find it there. And so they walk in back. And so finally I got up the courage to go ask myself, and I asked, you know, can I go take a look at the temple and see it? And got a strange response from her, but went in the back of the building there, and I couldn't find it. I walked outside. They have these courtyards in most of the buildings there, and so you walk out the back, it opens up into a courtyard. Looking around, couldn't find anything, get ready to go back in. And off to the side, there's a separate door that you can only access this location from the courtyard. And as I walked in the place, I'm amazed. I always kind of explain it as, you know, when you're a child, the old cartoons we used to see when we were kids, you know, they'd have these caves with all this money in there, you know, and some guy would find a way to get the door open, and he'd be in there swimming in money and, you know, those kind of funny stories. But this place literally had money everywhere, thousands and thousands of dollars, with every imaginable religious symbolism that you could imagine, from various aspects of Christianity, Roman Catholicism, to aspects of Islam, to all kinds of different Haitian deities and, you know, gods, and just loaded with money. And there's that young couple filling out the request and dropping it into the mouth of the idol. So it's a very interesting place. That's something you'd expect, like you said, to find in America.
So it's alive and well, so to speak, there.
Yes, and not only there. I mean, it's a little bit more in your face there. But if you start to talk to people, it's a little bit more underground in most other places where people have these things in their homes or businesses that they don't talk too much about. But there, it's right there in your face for the most part for the tourist. But the temple itself isn't. That's something you actually have to know about and how to get into it. But there's all kinds of these spiritualities with the fortune tellers and out in front of the cathedral there in downtown the French Quarter, and, you know, families with their children engaging in these practices.
Now, I do want you to speak briefly about an aspect of that particular spirituality, voodoo. We should say, if you go south of the United States into the Caribbean, you will find it practiced sometimes as a majority religion. But it's often, and I wonder if the case is true here in the United States, heavily mixed with Christianity. It is not Christian, of course, but it's heavily mixed with the ideas, figures, characters, symbols, and beliefs of Christianity. Talk about that.
Oh, sure. And that's really voodoo as we would experience it in southern United States, or specifically in Haiti. It's this very syncretistic religion where the slaves were not able to openly practice their traditional religions when they came here to the New World, would simply use the Roman Catholic idols and iconograph and things like that, and interpret them in view of their own deities. So you might see a portrait or a statue of Saint Peter, but for them that's a completely different deity that's being represented by. And all of the saints have different traditional gods attached to each of the figures. So they simply use the outward expression of these Christian symbols and apply completely different meanings to what they are.
Dr. Robert Bennett is our guest. This is part two of our series with him on demon possession, spiritual warfare in America, talking about the spirituality in the United States with him during this hour. He is author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for January, Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare in America. Find out more about this book, which is not only a recounting of some of these specific stories that we're hearing from Dr. Bennett, but also a resource for spiritual warfare in a very real way. There are no spells in there. There are no formulas in there. It simply directs us to the means of grace as God gives them to us in the divine service. And for the home, those solid devotional resources. We will be talking with him in a future part of this series about the hymnody of the church as a resource for spiritual warfare. Find out more about Afraid at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page of the website. Or call Concordia Publishing House and order Afraid, Demon Possession, and Spiritual Warfare in America by Dr. Robert Bennett, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. When we come back, we'll hear about his visit to St. Louis Cemetery No. 1 in New Orleans and the spirituality he found there. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Is the law the opposite of the gospel? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, Is the Law Bad? Some Myths About God's Law. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read about Tim Wood's journey from many different Christian confessions to the sound and seamless theology of the Lutheran Confession, the free online Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. On this Wednesday afternoon, 10 more minutes with Dr. Robert Bennett, Executive Director of Luther Academy and Adjunct Professor of Missiology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We're doing part two of our series with him on demon possession and spiritual warfare in America, the spirituality that we find here in America. Before the break, Dr. Bennett, you had mentioned visiting a voodoo temple down there in the French Quarter. You also went to St. Louis Cemetery 1. What did you tell us about the insight that you gained there into American spirituality?
Yeah, and that's something that you start to see as you start to take a little bit deeper look at these various religions is the connection that shows up in so many things that we do without really even thinking about them. At that particular cemetery, they have the tombs of a number of very prominent voodoo priests and priestesses, and people still go there to this day and leave offerings at the tomb. And just like the voodoo temple that I described where all the money was, there's not as much, but you'll find a $50 bill or a $10 bill or $1 bills ripped in half, so nobody steals them. There's no valuable to them when there's just a half a bill there, shoved in the various crannies of the tomb. They have the tombs, of course, above ground there because of the water table. And you'd also find, like you would in the voodoo temples, you'd find people's pictures of their relatives or loved ones. They might leave their jewelry there, or various aspects for the dead to use. So maybe some food items, some personal care items, or whatever the case is. But we do see this in our practices throughout the United States, this strange understanding that sometimes that people and even faithful Christians who get confused on this apply to the funeral process and the things that people put into the caskets, to sustain the dead relative as they're placed into the ground, and they're not really thinking these things through generally, a lot of it's just grief, and some of it maybe is somewhat harmless. But there's connections to these things where we miss the point of death itself has been swallowed up, and this person is with the Lord awaiting the wonderful resurrection. So there's many connections, and I'll stop, and you can ask me some more other time.
Well, let's turn to another spirituality in America that we very seldom see unless you happen to live in very close proximity to, say, the still existing reservations and things like that for Native Americans, or were culturally connected to it in some way. And that is Native American religion, which you say is also a fixation on death and the dead.
Yes, the American Native religions are very similar to the religions you would find whether you were in Africa or in South America or even Asia. I mean, there's differences, obviously, and some of the symbolism and some of the their own version of theology, I guess you want to call it that. But these are connections that are really lost on us in the Western world, because so often we're kind of taught in a political correct view that to view these as simple cultural traditions that we see within the Native American Indian groups, and for many they are, and this is the difficulty. Whenever we start talking about the spirituality aspect of these practices, in one practice, there's it's simply that it's a cultural thing, or it's a care for the body thing, or something to that effect, and then in someone else is doing the exact same ritual or action, it's a very different thing. Now, Native American religions, of course, they're animistic religions. They believe in a creator God that's inaccessible to the people. And so then they have a host of other spirits and even ancestors when someone dies that they seek to reach to get blessing in their lives, protection in their lives, or even sometimes to use against their enemy. So Native American religion is very similar to what you'd find in most parts of the world, but yet we're kind of taught and told that we have to be accepting of these things within the cultural understanding. It's not as big a deal as when we're told we have to be accepting of them within the church. And so in the book, I give the example of a Lutheran church that every year has a time where the children can show their various talents and things like that in the school. Well, they would start to do the various dances. Some of them had Native American roots. They started to do various dances there in the church to kind of show their heritage. And generally, the kids probably didn't even recognize the connection to these things, to the spiritual world. And it was kind of required to be acceptable by the church, But we would not let, you know, we wouldn't, if a child was from a voodoo family in Haiti, we wouldn't think it was an encouraging thing for him to start doing voodoo rituals in the church. And really, it's very similar things.
There's another wave of spirituality that is, I can think of this in terms of kind of heavily marketed spirituality. It's a kind of spirituality that may not actually have any genuine historical roots in any one culture like Native American or voodoo or anything like that. But it does sell well, whether it be tarot cards or, simple things, astrology, palm reading, all the way up to claims of the ability not just to be clairvoyant, but to be able to communicate with the dead. These things make for, sometimes they make for very successful television series, too. Talk about these, if you would.
They are. You can't miss them if you have cable or dish TV. There's a whole host of various programs related to these so-called gifts and phenomenon. And in the story, I tell the story of something called a psychic expo, and I know they have them all over the country. It just so happens there was one in the area where I was serving as a pastor at the time. And so I went to visit the psychic expo to see, kind of what's going on there. What do they do? I guess that's me who would go and look for that kind of thing. But what do they do? What type of people are attending? What's the content of it? And it's literally no different than going to the mall. Booth after booth of various occult devices and so-called spiritual trinkets that people buy booth after booth of medium to either read your cards or to cast stones to see what your future various forms. Basically, all it is though is all the old forms of divination seeking to receive answers from the dead or the spiritual world. Something that us Christians are very thoroughly warned about already in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, that we're not to be necromancers, we're not to be trying to connect ourselves and speak to the dead or the spiritual world. So it's really big business, though. You not mention the TV shows, but all of the various items that people buy, the money that people spend to go and to try to find answers to the questions that they might have that simply there are no answers to be found for how the loved ones who have died are doing or where they left their cell phone for that matter sometimes.
Dr. Robert Bennett is executive director of Luther Academy, adjunct professor of missiology and international missions specialist at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for January, Afraid, Demon Possession, and Spiritual Warfare in America. Dr. Bennett, thank you very much for being our guest.
Oh, it was wonderful to be with you again. Thank you, Todd.
Think about this for a second. Does the devil love the law? Is any bad situation in your life the law? Those are a couple of myths about the law that I take up in the latest Issues, Etc. journal, Is the Law Bad? Myths about the Law. The journal also contains a Wittenberg Trail feature, A Journey to Sound Doctrine by Tim Wood. You can subscribe absolutely free at our website, issuesetc.org. Click the red button and enter your email address, and you're subscribed to the online Issues Etc. journal. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, about Lutherans and Catholics observing the 500th anniversary of the Reformation with a joint worship service. That conversation tomorrow with Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening. Talk with you tomorrow on Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.